We thought an opening press conference might be a worthwhile thing in terms of sort of setting the stage for the Consultative Council, some of the issues on the agenda, some of the questions, the overview that you might have. So we asked Kenneth Kieran, the Secretary General of the Anglican Communion, if he would come, and Bishop John Patterson, the Bishop of Auckland, New Zealand, who is the chair of ACC 14. So I've asked each of them if they just make a few sort of opening comments. We'll then turn to questions. I think what we'll do is we'll perhaps, Mary Frances, start with you, and we'll just go around the table if you have questions. We need to finish by 25 after 2 so that they can get to the next session and the like, but that should give us a good few minutes for questions. Okay? Okay. Kenneth, would you mind starting for us?
Okay, right. Well, obviously, this is the 14th meeting of the ACC. It normally meets every 3 years. This time there's been a 4-year gap simply because of the Lambeth Conference. We simply don't think we could organisationally cope with that in the same year. Traditionally, the ACC considers the reports of the various commissions, working parties and groups which have been set up by the Anglican Communion and are usually under the oversight of the Joint Standing Committee. It also listens to the work of the network of the Anglican Communion. It also hears reports on the ecumenical work of the Communion. So those three, I think, are the main things that the ACC does, I think. Receive reports from networks, reports from commissions, working parties and working groups and so on of the Communion, and then the ecumenical work of the Anglican Communion, the international dialogues. That's what I mean by that.
Okay. Right. I'm the chair of the ACC until the end of ACC 14. And I have an unusually long history of association. I was first elected to the ACC for ACC 8 in 1990. And after my three-meeting term had expired, I happened to be elected as the vice chair for another 2 meetings and then became the chair for another 2 meetings. So this is actually my 7th meeting, and that's quite a long period of time. I had a 6-year term as the primate of Aotearoa, New Zealand and Polynesia, and I've been to 2 Lambeth conferences. So I've got some experience of three out of the 4 instruments of communion. And it's my personal contention with that experience that if the ACC meets well, it's good for the communion. So I'm full of hope and expectation for this meeting of ACC 14. We have some weighty matters to consider, and we're going to take our time about doing that. We're going to build on the experience of how people worked together to achieve understanding, if not a common mind on everything, in the Lambeth experience of 2008. And we will come to some decisions in the best interests of the communion. So I look forward to the meeting, but it's quite a responsibility to chair it.
Mary Frances, if you wouldn't mind, when your first question, just identify who you are and where you're from, just the first time around.
Sure. Mary Frances Schoenberg, Episcopal News Service in New York. I'd like to go back to your comment, Bishop Patterson, about if the ACC meets well, it's good for the communion. Could you define meets well and then define good for the communion?
Robert Runcie, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury at the first ACC meeting that I attended, coined the phrase that the communion is united by bonds of affection. And for the first 5 meetings of the ACC that I was part of, it was very evident that once people got to know, appreciate, understand, and then develop trust, that those bonds of affection were very real. The strains and the tensions in the communion that surfaced in ACC 13 at Nottingham meant that it was not such a good meeting of the ACC, and I think a lot of us have to acknowledge that, take some responsibility for it. But this is, in my view, the most representative body of the 4 instruments of communion, and that if the wisdom of the the lay people of the communion, the wisdom of clergy other than bishops can meet that of bishops and the standing committee of the primates, then in traditional Anglican polity, we've got a very representative group. And if that meets well, that's carried back to the member churches and the communion is strengthened.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tess Sisson. I'm with the Anglican Journal in Toronto. I have a two-pronged question. The first is, can you define what weighty matters, the council is going to meet about? And second, will the issue of the proposed new North American province be considered or be on the table at this meeting?
Right, weighty matters. I think the most obvious of those is the proposals that have reached ACC 14 in the form of the Ridley-Cambridge draft of an Anglican covenant. And ACC 14 is charged with a decision as to whether it goes forward at this point and is referred to the member churches of the communion. We have some important matters from the Windsor Continuation Group with a number of recommendations about the way we order our life and so on. There's always a raft of ecumenical matters that we have to consider. One of the great benefits of ACC is that instead of our partner churches having to negotiate with 38 or is it 40 provinces, member churches, in terms of talking to an Anglican partner, they can talk to the ACC and hopefully get an Anglican voice. So it's always an important function of the ACC. To my knowledge, the matter that you refer to, the North American province, has not been referred to us as not part of the agenda.
Chris Sugden, Evangelicals Now in the UK. The chair of the covenant process in the Church of England has identified the strengthening of the principle of provincial autonomy as characteristic of the Ridley draft. Is the expectation that this meeting will affirm the Ridley draft as the sort of received text, as it were, for the covenant to move forward, or will there be significant debate around that? What's your expectation?
Well, it's a yes and, from my point of view. The Ridley-Cambridge draft is the draft that's before us. It's been to two of the other instruments of communion who are able to comment but not alter text. And the same is the expectation of the ACC. We will look hard at the text and decide whether it goes to the member churches from this point on. The Secretary General might have.
You probably know that that's the process. If you think of the text that's gone around at the Lambeth Conference, if you were there, what happened there was the text was presented and the comments were gathered and fed back to the Covenant Design Group. The same thing happened with the Primates meeting recently in Alexandria. They commented on the text and all of those comments are now gathered together. I think the Covenant Design Group thinks that it has done what it can with the text and feels that it is now mature enough to be handed out to the provinces. But at the end of the day, that's not for that body to decide. But they've asked, I think, the third instrument community to look at it. And the hope is that the ACC would feel that it was mature enough to go to the provinces. No instrument of communion is going to make a decision about the covenant. It's going to be made by the member churches of the communion. And that's what I think was the point of your opening comment about provincial autonomy, because it is provinces that make the decisions, which has always been the case. So you can't predict what the ACC is going to do with it, but I think the expectation or the hope would be that they would commend what is there. But whether they do or not, obviously, we'll see how it goes. Is that okay? Yeah, I understand.
Robert London with the American Anglican Council. Bishop Patterson, you said that the Windsor Continuation Group was bringing some matters to the ACC. And you said particularly matters pertaining to the way we order our life. Can you elaborate on that?
Not in great detail. The Windsor Continuation Group has met a number of times over the last 18 months, two-year period, picked up comments that come from the Windsor report, partly in relation to the four instruments of communion, the interaction, which is quite delicate between those, and I think a perceived need to, in some way, strengthen each of those instruments of communion so that there's more cohesion, greater understanding between the four as to whose responsibility it is in various aspects of our life. The Windsor Continuation Group touches on a number of other matters which conveniently escaped my mind, but I know you know off by heart.
Sorry, will I say something?
Yes.
Yeah, remember the origins. Sorry, remember the origins of the Windsor Continuation Group. First of all, you can go back to General Convention of 2006 and the response that it made to the request made in the Windsor report to it. They made their response, and then the assessment of that response was made, and there was a sort of diversity of opinion about the adequacy of that response. That was discussed at the Dar es Salaam Primates meeting in 2007, and it issued recommendations. The recommendations from that particular meeting were not acceptable to the Episcopal Church. And in responding to that, they invited the Joint Standing Committee to meet them in New Orleans, which happened in September 2007, sort of a process. And the report of that meeting was sent to the provinces for comment. And it didn't seem that there was any consensus about that either. And so the Archbishop, in his Advent letter of 2007, indicated that he was going to set up a group to review where we are as a communion in the light of the Windsor Report. And that's what the Windsor Continuation Group did. It met before and after the Lambeth Conference and made presentations there. What it does is it reviews the position we're in as a communion. As the chairman has said, it did look at the instruments of communion and ask questions about the extent to which they were coping with and handling the issues before them. I think they generally were supportive of what the instruments of communion have done, but hoped that they would be strengthened and also encouraged the notion of a more rapid response to some of these things. They also looked at the moratoria, which were announced in the Windsor report, and see where the state of those was. With respect to the first moratorium, which was on the request not to proceed to the consecration, the consent to an election of a bishop in a same-sex relationship, they said that had held. That had not happened since. With respect to the authorization of public rites of same-sex blessing, they accepted that, by and large, that moratorium had held, but they recognized there was a few bits, flaky bits around some dioceses, has gone ahead and tried to sort of use language that was not that clear in what they were trying to do. I think that's what they said about it. And the third one, they said the question of interventions had not ceased. And in fact, they reckoned it had got worse. So that's what their review of the moratoria were. They also commented on the position of a new entity wanted to become an additional province in the communion. And I think in paragraph 101, they outlined what they felt were the guidelines should cover the consideration of that a proposal like that. And they raised some questions in it. And I think those guidelines would determine the consideration of an application by an entity from North America which wished to become an additional province of the Anglican Communion. But that isn't on the agenda now, and it wasn't on the agenda for the Primates meeting, which I think I expected it to be.
Colin Couch, MDMC of England, no questions tonight.
I wanted to ask a somewhat procedural question about the Joint Standing Committee of the ACC and the Primates. From what I can tell, Archbishop Orumbi has never participated in his role on the Joint Standing Committee since he was elected to that position. I'm wondering about that voice in this whole process. Is there a procedure for him? Is there an alternate for him? I'm not clear how that all works.
That's right. Archbishop Arambu was elected for the Africa region at the Dar es Salaam meeting of the primates in 2007. There have been three meetings of the Joint Standing Committee since, and he hasn't been able to attend. But in each case, he sent his apologies, and I've had reasonably good communication with him about attending. He has not been able to attend. At the Dar es Salaam meeting, we did move... This is getting very procedural. We were aware that what happens is, you see, a person is elected to the Primate Standing Committee, and then what was happening was they were ceasing to be a primate before the meeting would meet again, and therefore that there was a vacancy. And that actually, I think, at my first one in Dromedary, Nottingham, it was quite a number of vacancies by that time in the Primate Standing Committee. So I proposed, and it was accepted at the Dar es Salaam meeting, that we have an alternate who would act and come forward in the case of a primate ceasing to be a primate. Okay. Now, that doesn't cover the case of Archbishop Arambu, who wasn't able to attend. So at the last primates meeting, I asked them would they modify that to allow that alternate to attend if the person wasn't able to attend. The alternate to Archbishop Arambu is Archbishop Justice Crophy. And as soon as I got the note from Archbishop Arambu that he wasn't able to attend, I contacted Archbishop Crophy, and he wasn't either, though he actually tried quite hard. So it was a series of weeks. He had another engagement, he tried to move it and so on, and then at the end of the day he wasn't able to do it. So yes, I am sorry that voice has not been heard. Yeah, it is a pity. And we hopefully, you know, with a little more warning, we will be able to at least get the alternative if the person's not able to attend.
Let's not overlook the fact that there is a lay person from Uganda who has been able to attend each of the meetings.
Yes.
Matthew, I skipped by accident.
You're
okay with
it? Yes. Should the ACC recommend the covenant for consideration by member provinces? Is there some kind of formula that would determine whether it's approved or not? Like, is there some kind of percentage as to how many provinces ought to approve it?
The covenant text at this moment addresses that question. And it doesn't, because the covenant will only be operative for those who agree to the covenant, who sort of sign up to the covenant. And according to the covenant text itself, it becomes operative for any church as soon as that church agrees to the covenant. So there's not a sort of, you know, we're not looking for a sort of a substantial majority by which time it applies to everyone. The covenant will only ever apply to those churches of the communion which decide to covenant.
Sorry, just to follow up. So if one church decides not to, then...
This is just not an issue. They're just not a church that within the covenant. But that doesn't see, and I think it says it in the covenant, that they don't cease, and it doesn't alter the relationship as a member of Church of the Anglican Communion. It's in the text, actually. Section 4.
A follow-up on that, if I may, and then another of substance. The follow-up is, what is meant by churches? Is it dioceses or provinces?
I think the word churches is not... Well, I think the issue of what churches is will have to be defined. The way in which we operate with it, which is possible to work the covenant, is the list of churches, member churches that are listed in the schedule to the ACC, which is the provinces of the kingdom plus the, you know, the other ones, six, I think, extra provincial ones. That's a possible list. But I agree with you, that question of what a church is in this sense needs to be defined. It would have to be defined in some way, but I would expect, hope that that will come through in the resolution.
And if I may have asked a question of substance, can you just help us, the cost of this event, and is it covered?
This event?
Yes.
The cost of the event is, oh gosh, first of all, it is covered because it is part of the ACC, the provincial budget, and we allocate money every year to it. I think it's about 330,000, about a third of £1 million. It's that sort of a figure. It's a higher figure than previous times, frankly, because we're in the dollar area. And if you remember, the dollar pound has been a little bit difficult over the last while. I think it's of that order, a figure. And it is covered, yeah. We allocate money each year, and we've had the advantage of having 4 years allocation rather than three this time.
Even 4 months ago. I also double as the chair of the Finance Committee. Even 4 months ago, the total amount estimated was much less.
But 220.
Because of the currency fluctuation in the last 4 months, it's really hit us. But we can cover it.
Robert, the last question to you.
No.
Well, then, I thank you also for coming, and to Kenneth and Bishop John, thank you for your clarity and the good answers that you've given us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.